September 26, 2005, item number 90. Today's guest is Victor Caio from the Typical PC Users Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Victor from the Typical PC Users Podcast, a couple quick news and notes. First, got some good news this weekend. Got some tickets for Tuesday's screening here in Kansas City of Serenity. So I'm really looking forward to going to see that tomorrow. I'll give you an update of what I thought of the movie in Wednesday's podcast. I have a feedback here that I want to play from Steve from steverunner.com. And I can't even pronounce his podcast. He says it real quick in the beginning. Try to catch it if you can. Here is Steve talking about how he explains podcasting to his family and friends.
Hey, Rob, this is Steve Runner from the podcast Fitipidations, a podcast all about running at steverunner.com. I wanted to share with your listeners my experience with explaining all about podcasting to family and friends. I'm a former broadcast engineer, so I spent around 10 years working in commercial radio in Boston. And when I first mentioned to friends and family that I had started a podcast back in July, of course, the question came up, what is a podcast? And I attempted to go through explaining it and found that the only way you could really do it was by simply saying that I was doing a radio show again. That they all seemed to understand. I worked as a DJ in college and worked at a number of radio stations in Boston and around the world. So, hey, radio? Sure, they understood that part. So I've simply told people that I'm doing a radio show, and of course the question they ask then is, what station? And what I tell them is, well, it's not actually on a radio station, it's networked. Yeah, that's it. It's a syndicated program, which, again, pretty much they can understand. Since then, I've tried to direct them towards my website if they were interested in it. Actually, as a matter of fact, since most of my friends and family aren't really runners, I for the most part, don't direct them to my website. But I do explain to them what podcasting is and the whole concept of internet radio. And they seem to like that. So I've gotten the word out in my own freaky kind of little way, but I'm not discouraged because I think that within the coming year and the increasing sales in iPods and iRivers and all the MP3 players out there, that people are going to get it and they're going to be tuning into these programs. So I'm confident that eventually people will understand what the idea of a podcast is. Thanks, Rob. By the way, awesome show. I listen to Podcast 411 every time you produce one. And yes, I run every day, and you're piped into my ears. I've learned an awful lot. Thanks, man.
Steve, thanks for that explanation. You can find a link to Steve's podcast in the show notes. As always, our show notes can be found at podcast411.com. And if you have feedback or a tech tip that you'd like to share with us, please send those tech tips or links to them to podcast411@gmail.com, or you can leave an audio comment on our audio line at 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. Well, we're going to go ahead now and get into our interview with Victor from the Typical PC User Podcast. Here we go. Victor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
Now, I'll start you out. First question, what was your first computer?
Well, of course, I've been thinking about this since we decided to do this, but it was pretty easy. It was a Commodore VIC-20 back in late 81, I think, for Christmas.
VIC-20 making its comeback. Yeah, I have to run the stats someday just for my own curiosity, but I think either the Commodore VIC-20 combined with the 64 are like the number one.
Well, I definitely went from the 20 to the 64, but the price point, I mean, it was like, I think, $300, and then that was about equivalent to about $1,000, so it was all I could do to raise that.
Yeah. Now when you say 64, people think it means 64-bit. Back then, it meant 64K.
That's right. And we were thrilled to have it. I spent many an hour waiting for those tapes to load up with those applications.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
Definitely Adam Curry Daily Source Code, no doubt about it.
Okay. And outside of the tech podcasts, what are some of the podcasts you're listening to today?
Outside of tech, I'll go to the extreme. I love the Startcast with Jim Kay. He has that dark sense of humor, which I dig. And although my podcast is pod safe and all that, I love going there with Jim. So I listen to him all the time. Skepticality, love that.
Yeah, Derek
your
and
podcast.
Swoopie. Thank you.
Your podcast is an every Monday morning commute thing for me. So that's a routine. Slacker Astronomy. you know, Hammerline here and there.
Yeah.
Fly with me. I always look forward to hearing Joe, although he doesn't podcast enough for my taste, but I'll always dig his show. Keith and a Girl, Once in a Blue Moon, if I'm in that New York state of mind, you know? And Trucker Tom and Trucker Lou, that's a brand new trucker out there just doing their, what I call your grassroots podcast, just telling it like it is. I dig those guys because of that.
I can't
do what they do.
Well, you know, I have had Trucker Tom on. I'll have to check out Trucker Lou. You said Trucker Lou?
Yeah, with two L's. Okay. And his name's Brian, but he has a Trucker Lou, and it's just stream of consciousness, diary stuff. And somehow, I just can't stop listening.
Let's talk about your show. Your show is Typical PC User. And obviously, that doesn't mean that you're just riddled with viruses. Let's explain it a little bit better.
Well, let me tell you the genesis of my show and why it's called Typical PC User. I had a 70-year-old aunt of mine, Aunt Mary, who would never use the computer as of January of this year. We gave her an old computer and got her an internet connection, and she loved Morgan horses. Her and I spent about 3 hours one afternoon just showing her what was available in the internet around Morgan horses, and I saw this woman's face light up in a way that I had never seen before. And at that moment, I think between that and listening to some podcasts, I said, you know, if I can do that for some other people who are not the Uber geeks, but if I can bring them to a show where they can learn the basics and then also do some intermediate stuff, I think I can get my heart into that. And to me, that's the first thing in doing podcasting, is you have to have heart for it before you can have brains for it.
You mentioned previously in one of your shows that if you clear out a computer, an old computer, and then give it to a relative, tech support is not only expected, it's implied.
That's right. Rule number one, you better know what you're getting into, because you are now their IT department.
And what you're trying to do with your show then is basically help give people tech support and give them little tips and tricks and trades so that they can help their relatives.
And so they can help themselves, too. I think that you're right. There's those users that are listening to my show, because I certainly don't have all novice users. I have many users that are intermediate and advanced. Yes, give them those tips. But for the novice users, you know, teach them how to fish so they can go catch their own fish rather than just feed them fish.
Now, I noticed you had a comment, too, on your show. I have to point out. You said a quote in your show was, Microsoft was looking out for the interests of the users. Now, I didn't realize your show was also a comedy.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I think that I'm not going to be a total Microsoft slammer. I think that Microsoft has a fiscal interest in looking out for their users. Do they always hit their mark? No, I would say they probably don't. But I think that they have an opportunity to do so. And at times, I think they do hit a home run. Not always.
Okay. What can your listeners look forward to on your show coming up in the future?
Well, what's happening, what's been happening in this show probably since before show 50, that was that the listeners started to finally get engaged in that they could be part of the show too. And now I have listeners that are sending me MP3 files that they have recorded themselves, either doing reviews, telling stories about how they've supported people, and I'm integrating those into the show. And so what I see the show going is it's going to be much, much more listener-driven and listeners are going to participate more, and they are going to drive the content, and I'm going to become the mediator and kind of like the person who puts out, almost like an editor, and I just dig that. I think that's a great direction for the show to take. Give it to them.
That is always the best type of shows, when you can get a lot of the user or listener feedback and incorporate it, so I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, it's taken a while to get it to that point. At first, I mean, I couldn't get anyone to even write me an email. So there had to be this trust thing developed. But now it's starting to happen, and I'm very excited about it. The people out there that haven't heard my show, they'll come into it and say, wow, that's great. Typical PC users are not only listening, they're doing the show.
Where do you see tech podcasts, not the tech podcast group itself, but technical podcasts, geek podcasts in general going?
Well, yeah, thanks for clarifying that, because I don't want to speak on behalf of Tech Podcast Network. That's a separate and aside, so I'm going to talk as a technical podcaster out here. And I think that what's happening in that space is that we're starting to see an awful lot of duplicity. You know, how many hours a day do I have as a listener to listen to podcasts? It's a finite number of hours. And what's going to start winning out in the end is going to be not just what everybody always says, that it's content, content, content. Yes, that's true. But within the content, do you have entertainment value? do you have educational value, and do you have passion for what you're doing? And passion becomes the X factor. And I think that what's going to start happening is that people are going to get tired of listening to the same 12 people do tech news, or even in my case, 12 people give me tips on computers. So as a podcaster, if I want to rise to the top and the cream of the top, I've got to either differentiate myself or combine forces with other talented podcasters to put out truly a show that people are going to want to tune into regardless of the amount of hours they have to listen to. That's going to be the difference, because it isn't a infinite number of hours. It's a finite number of hours per listener.
People are talking now that there may be as much as 10,000 podcasts that have been individual RSS feeds that have been created. Now, how many of those people are actually still podcasting is something for debate, and how many people are doing three shows, how many podcasters there are is also up for debate. That said, when you compare that to the 7 million people that are blogging, or 7 million plus people that are blogging, the number doesn't seem that great, yet there is what you're talking about already, the shortage of people's hours in the day to listen to the few podcasts that are out there now. And really, you have to think of it as only a few podcasts.
And that's because of the linear nature of audio. You are generally going to listen from beginning to end. I mean, unless you start getting into the podcasting, like on the Mac, where you can do chapters. But otherwise, people are going to listen linearly. So that means I have to get your attention, keep it throughout the show. If I don't do that, if I don't grab you in the first 30 to 50 seconds, you're gone.
That is one of the disadvantages of a podcast versus a blog, where you can scan a blog quickly and move on and see what you want to see and move on. You know, find the one piece you want to zero in on. And it's harder to do that with podcasts. And the chapter tool in itself isn't that much of an advantage for doing that. I mean, it just takes you to one big piece or another big piece.
That's right. And you only can use it if you have iTunes, and you can only use it where you're, you know. So, yeah, it's limited. That's why one thing I did agree when I first read Todd Cochran's book, he mentioned into the importance of doing regular blogging along with podcasting. And really, I hadn't taken that into heart until really recently. And I've started just to plain blog now. And I think I'm starting to see some of the advantages of that, even though it's a different space, because I am definitely not as good of a writer as I am of a public speaker.
Let's not forget to tell the listeners where to locate your podcast and website.
That's right. One of Rob's pet peeves, promos without websites.
Yes. Oh, you wouldn't believe how many I get.
I heard you say that on that show, and I just had to laugh, and I had to go back and think to myself, did I do that when I first started? No, I don't think so. You can find me very easily, typicalpcuser.com. And yes, folks, just in case, I have bought and reserved typicalmacuser.com as well.
Okay. Gotta protect that, you know, namespace. Did you get .org.net?
I sure did. You know, it's that brand name thing, and I got that little discount, so what the heck. And if you go to that site, you'll even see a logo for it.
Yeah, well, okay, that's one of your sponsors is GoDaddy. And one of the things I know I get questions from people all the time, and I got one last night, and the people are like, well, how do I make money at podcasting? And first thing I say to people, by and large, is look, don't get into podcasting expecting to make money. The long tail, the 80%+ of people that are in podcasting are never going to make any money that comes close to breaking even on what this hobby, and this is a hobby.
This is a hobby. Absolutely.
Will cost you. You don't expect to make money flying model airplanes. You don't expect to make money mountain biking. Don't expect to make money podcasting.
You know, you're absolutely right, first of all. And I look at the money part of it is you're a poker player, so you know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about here. I look at it as the pot. Mm-hmm. In order for me to want to stay in the pot, the pot's got to be right. In this case, a little bit of advertising money, to me, makes the pot right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I, you know, and people who don't play poker may not get that analogy, but I know you well.
Right. Now, with your site and podcast, the ways that you're looking at generating revenue, you've got the donate. People can donate per month, per year, or whatever.
And I call that really a subscription model, right. Very similar to the Twit Leo right. Laporte model, yes.
Right. And by the way, folks, that doesn't work when you launch your first podcast. You actually have to have a listener base now.
Yes.
You've got the Cafe Press, and I can tell you, I don't know if your experience is what mine is, but I can tell you that in 6 months, it's been less than $2 a month of revenue or whatever it is.
And I would say that's my experience too, yes.
And then you've got commercials. You've got two sponsors on in your podcast, all combined per month with all your different revenue-generating methods there. What is your rough intake?
I am making some money with the advertisements. It's about enough to cover my bandwidth costs. So let me put that into perspective. If you can imagine for the size show that I have and the bandwidth that I require, we're not talking about big money at all here, okay? We're talking about less than $100 a month. Let me put it in those terms. But let me qualify that by saying that this is the very first month of any revenue generation since I began to podcast, and I expect that curve to exponentially go up.
What hardware are you using today to do your podcast? What's your setup?
Well, right now I'm using a 2.16 gigahertz AMD 3000 desktop. I've got 2 gigs of RAM. I've got a 300 gig hard drive on that guy. Then, of course, I'm using Adobe Audition for my recording of my show, and that's also where I do all of my post-production things. And as far as external hardware, most of my recording happens outside with a Mackie 1416 board, a DBX 266 XL compressor, a Tube preamp, and a Marshall V63M condenser microphone. So,
what Tube preamp are you using? I've gotten some questions about that recently.
Actually, the brand name is Tube Pre.
Okay, so you're using the Tube Pre. Okay.
It literally has a tube inside, and this is. It also comes with a 80 hertz filter, phantom power built in. I can pat it down, and it truly makes a huge difference in the warmth of your sound. Even though the Mackie has excellent built-in preamps, it's night and day with and without this Tube Pre.
Now, what are you using for a microphone?
I am using a Marshall V63M. Being in recording for a long time, it's amazing to me what they can do with a $100 microphone today. I used to record on Neumanns that were $1,500 and $1,600 mics, and these days they have gotten it down that well, that these microphones sound as good as $500 and $600 mics 10 years ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, always in my opinion. By the way, folks, everything in my show is in my opinion, even though I may sound pompous when I'm saying something. What are you shooting for when you do your show for a typical length?
30 minutes is the optimum, 40 at the outside, and I've done a... It's really weird. While I'm recording it, I go back at the end, and it's like, oh, wow, I'm like 32, and I really only plan so much of that, but it just kind of turns out that way. Something in my gut must tell me when I'm going too long.
How often do you produce your shows?
It's twice a week. On Wednesdays, usually by 8:30 at night, it will be out, but usually earlier, and then on Saturdays.
Okay. You've been around for 50 shows, so that makes you a grizzled veteran of podcasting. What advice would you offer to someone that's in that tweener stage between the 10th and 20th show? They're just starting to get their legs under them.
Well, the first thing is that you've got to podcast. I said it before earlier. You have to podcast with your heart first and with your microphone second. So you've got to really have something to say that you're passionate about. Otherwise, so what? And secondly, you really do have to listen to Rob and pay attention to your audio quality. Yes, it's true. You can buy a $9 microphone, plug it into a PC or a Mac, and be off and running. But I'm only going to be interested if I can clearly and distinctly understand your passionate message.
Very well said. Thank you. So what are some of the unique ways you've marketed your show?
One of the things that I did when my show was real new is that I had to reach out beyond the Uber geek community because I was trying to draw typical PC users. So one thing that I did marketing-wise that I haven't seen too many people do is I went out and parked myself in the message boards for like AARP. And I went out there and answered PC questions from typical PC users. And along the way, I said, by the way, I have a show. One of the things podcasters should do, especially in the tech world, go outside of the world of podcasting to draw audience. There are a lot of audiences that are ripe for the picking, and they're not necessarily anywhere in our space. They're out there someplace.
Now, there's one more thing before we go. I just want to make a comment on, and it's something you talked about in a previous show. Sure. I like the USB aquarium. I'm sorry. I like it. I like it. And I am a geek at heart, and I thought the USB aquarium was the greatest idea when I saw it. I went, oh, that is so cool. And I bet you that thing sells like hotcakes in Japan, where aquariums are so much the status quo.
Well, of course, you are referring to the great segment that I have, which is where I review geek gadgets. It's called Geek Gadget Show and Tell. And okay, Rob, I will note here, Rob likes aquarium, and I'll make sure I mention that in the next episode because I just can't go there with you. Sorry.
They're only $9.95. You get this cute little aquarium with two little fish, and you hook it up to your USB port. It is so cool. I'm sorry. I love it.
If you like the USB aquarium, you're going to love the cigarette lighter and ashtray built into the CD tray that I'm going to be showing in the next episode of Geek Gadget Show and Tell.
Okay. Well, Victor, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Rob, it's a pleasure. Big fan, and just I really like what you do for podcasting. You make it real for all of us.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Victor from the Typical PC User Podcast. Please check out his podcast at typicalpcuser.com. Victor, thank you so much for coming on the show. It really was a blast talking with you, and I look forward to talking with you more in the future. Well, to stay fair and balanced, at the end of today's show, we're going to go ahead and play a promo from the Mac Attack podcast, so please stick around for that. Coming up on our next show, our guests will be Evo from the Dragon Page podcast, which include Cover to Cover, Winging It, and Slice of Sci-Fi, which happened to beat me out in the podcast awards, but we'll overlook that anyway. So, again, Evo from the Dragon Page will be here this Wednesday, the 28th. Until the next time, this is your host, Rob, as always, reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
I'm Steve Stanger, host of The Mac Attack. The Mac Attack is a weekly podcast dedicated to Mac tips, tricks, and hints, and anything else I can come up with to help you out with your day-to-day computer use. On the show, we discuss backing up your important files, shareware, freeware, and must-have software, wireless networking, system maintenance, computer and internet security, and more. We also cover the new software releases, updates, and technical news of the week. So please join me on the Mac Attack. For more information about the show, surf over to www.stevecom.com. That's www.stevecom.com.